Tonight, we're going to continue on. Pastor Paul started a series last week. How many got to be in here last week? If you missed it, go back and watch it on Facebook, find it. And I'm telling you, it's a powerful word. But he was stirring us up to believe for, to contend for miracles in our life. How many need some miracles in your life right now? All right, that's a lot of hands. How many know people around you that need miracles in their life? That's about all of us. And so we need to be operating in the miraculous. And so I'm so grateful that Pastor Paul has set aside time to contend and to learn and to walk in miracles. And I'm going to share on that tonight. Next week, don't want to miss next week, Pastor Amon Marklin is going to be sharing on miracles as well. And then after Easter, when we come back, we got some awesome time. April 10th, I wrote it down. I didn't want to miss it. April 10th, Mario Murillo will be in the house. And I'm telling you, he has been operating in some miraculous levels. You don't want to miss that. And then April 17th, Ron McIntosh is going to be up here sharing on miracles as well. And then I believe Pastor Paul's going to wrap it up the next week. So how many of you know we're purposing as a body, as a congregation, to push into miracles? How many know our world, we need to see miraculous things happening on a regular basis? Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so tonight, what God has really laid on my heart is because a lot of times we get this thought that miracles are these great big things that happen every once in a while. But my word for you tonight, in fact, here's my title for tonight: miracles are the norm. Come on, say, miracles are the norm. We need to be expecting and walking in the miraculous power of God on a regular basis. And tonight, we're going to go through a passage of scripture that most of us have heard all of our lives. I'm not going to share a story. Probably everyone here, everyone watching online. In fact, we're so grateful for everyone watching online. But most of you have heard these stories from as long as you've been in church. But a lot of times we take these four stories and we separate them. But tonight we're going to look at them in a chronological order and how Jesus operated in them. And what we're going to see is for Jesus, miracles were a norm. Now you might be thinking, well, yeah, he's Jesus. But we need to understand this. Jesus, he was God, is God, forever will be God. Can I hear an amen for that? Amen. He always was God. But when he came to the earth, Philippians chapter 2 said he laid that aside. One version said he emptied himself of that, and he walked on this earth as a man led by the Spirit. And so if he did miracles as God, we have no hope. But he emptied himself of that and said, I'm going to do it just like you're going to do it. Oh, come on. You missed a great place to shout amen right there. Now, let me clarify. We're not the ones with the power to do miracles. It's still God's power, but we're going to make ourselves vessels that he can move through and watch the miraculous happen around us. Come on, let's shout amen. Amen. So are you with me tonight? Yes. One more time, say miracles are the norm. Last week, Pastor Paul set the stage and he gave us four types of miracles. And you could boil all of the miracles that happen down into these four categories, and they were, number one, healing; number two, casting out demons; number three, nature or natural miracles, or I put on there also provisional miracles; restoration or raised from the dead to life is the fourth one. So these four categories are categories that the miracles that we see from the word that we can fall in, and so tonight we're going to go into all of those. Are you ready? You got your Bibles ready? All right, get your Bibles out. Thank you. We're going to call you back here in just a minute. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 35. And it said, on the same day, when evening had come, he said, let us cross over to the other side. So he was teaching parables in a boat. And so he finishes that, dismisses the crowd, and he said, now let's go to the other side. And when I teach this, I love to talk about this all the time. Why was he going to the other side? It's a very simple answer. This is not why did the chicken cross the road. This is why did he go to the other side? And it's this answer. Jesus said, I never do anything or say anything except what I've already heard from the Father. So why is he going to the other side? He's already been sent by the Father to go to the other side. Come on, that's a word for you. When the Father speaks, we're going to the other side. Say, I'm going to the other side. Verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took with him along with boats as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, I want to stop right there, and this is some really good note-taking stuff right here, because there's some great things that the Greek shows us through these words that we don't naturally get with our English words. That word great was the word mega, and we understand that. We've used that. But it was something massive. And so this wasn't just a regular storm. This was beyond normal. This was a massive storm that arose. And this storm of wind was turbulence. It was a turbulence in the atmosphere. Something was stirring it up. And we're going to see what that is here in just a minute. Something stirred the atmosphere up, and this huge, massive, mega storm automatically hits. And then it says, the great windstorm arose. And that word arose is the one that really caught my attention. This word arose is the word gnomia, and it means it came from nowhere. There were no signs. You know, here in Oklahoma, we can usually tell when a storm's about to come. There's some wind shift that happens. Clouds begin to form. If they're forming from the west and coming this way, you know, it could be serious. We've seen some natural things that we can speculate when storms are coming. This storm came out of nowhere. It was stirred up in the atmosphere, and it came out of nowhere. And then it began to beat into the boat. In fact, it was like the waves were coming from every direction. How many of you know that sounds demonic? It came out of nowhere, disturbance in the atmosphere, and it began to beat into the boat. And if you look at that word beat into, it's an entity that was beating into the boat, not nature. So if you look at that, you can tell that this storm was not just a natural storm. This storm was a demonic storm trying to disrupt something that God was about to do. How many of you all have some storms that you're encountering in your life right now? Man, that's most of us. How many have been through some storms in your life? Let me see your hands. Now, here's the biggest one. How many think you're going to go through a storm sometime in your life? Now, if your hand's not up, just go ahead and get it up. Because storms are going to come. But Jesus gives us a picture of just how we're supposed to handle storms that come. And I realize that some of you are going through some tough stuff in your life, some storms in your life, and I'm never going to make fun of that or make light of that, but we need to look at it through the eyes of Jesus. Hey, this storm is just a distraction. Oh, I should have had some shouts of amen right there. This storm is a distraction, and I'm going to push through. And I'm going to see God come through on the end of this. Man, I'm prophesying over someone in this room tonight. You're going through a storm, and it looks like the boat is filling up. It looks like you're about to sink. But Jesus said, hey, we're not going halfway and dying in a boat wreck. We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Come on, we're going to the other side. You're going to make it through this. It's a distraction. And we know that storms come, and we realize that storms are going to come. In fact, they happen a lot here in Tulsa. But we've got to understand that they're never sent by God. I want you to hear that. Storms are never sent by God. We live in a fallen world. There's going to be storms that happen, but God did not cause them, but he will deliver us from them. I'm going to quote this scripture many times tonight. John 10:10 says it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come that you may have life and life to the fullness. So we understand where it's coming from. So all of a sudden, this storm rises up. You know, when storms rise up, what do you do to them? Jesus, he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Man, I love that. I could preach for 3 weeks just on that little passage right there. He said, peace, be still. You know, when we have storms coming, many of you are probably like us here. We watch a certain channel, and they have a storm tracker. And if there's a tornado coming, they'll put a storm tracker up and they'll say, you know, it's headed this way, and in 30 minutes it's gonna be here, in 45 minutes it's gonna be here. And how many of y'all have seen that on your TV? There was one night Debbie and I were watching, and there was a tornado that had come from Oklahoma City. It was headed right for us, and they did a storm tracker, and right in the middle of it was our house. Now, what do you do? The disciples who had been around Jesus, who had watched Jesus, they got in complete fear. And they come and woke up Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we're about to perish?" And he stepped up and rebuked the storm, and he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" In other words, you should have done what I just did. So Debbie and I, hey, we're bold enough to believe the word. Come on, who's bold enough to believe the word in here with me? So that storm tracker's coming right for our house. And sirens are going off. And you know where I was? Right out in my front yard. And I was pointing at that storm. And I said, "Storm, you dissipate in Jesus' name." My neighbors probably thought I had already lost it. But I don't care. I'm gonna take him at his word, and I'm gonna believe his word. And I stepped out there, and we come in prayer and agreement, and we spoke to that storm. And I have this on video. I tried so hard to find it, and it's on one of my computer drives, and I couldn't find it, but we have video of it, because we were watching this storm as it was tracking across. And when it got to our house, this storm did this. It split in two. One went one side, the other went the other side, and then it just dispersed and nothing hit from that point on. Well, was that because I'm a pastor? No. Was that because I'm walking in so much power? No, not at all. It's because I believe the word and I stand on the word and I do what the word teaches me to do. I about cried right then because it was so powerful to see his word working in my own life right then and right there. I videoed it, and I said, "Debbie, look at this." And that storm just went shoop, right around us. And I just remembered, there's power in his name. There's power when we do the things that he tells us to do. And so this demonic force, this stirring in the atmosphere, was trying to stop him from doing what he was called to do. He had already heard, "We're going to the other side." And so it comes up and it tries to stop him. Now, again, God never causes these storms, but the enemy is there to try to take us out, to distract us, but we got to press on through, because God is about to do something great on the other side of your storm. I want to speak to someone in the room. This storm is causing fear, it's causing worry, and it's causing anxiety. And I want you to rise up tonight and say, "No, his word is true. I'm going to stand on it. And it doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. I'm going to choose to believe his word, and I'm going to see it come to pass." Don't be fearful. Jesus said, "Rise up in faith." Rise up in faith. So after the storm, he calms it, and it immediately goes away. And then he begins to teach him. Let's go down to Mark chapter 5. Now notice chapter 4 ends with verse 41. They feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" And then that's the end of the chapter, but how many know that's not the end of the story? Now, a lot of times when we hear that story, we hear that and we stop right there. But I want you to look at chapter 5, verse 1, and what's the very first word? Come on, shout it. Then. Then. And I made them highlight it. I made them change the color, because I want you to circle that in your Bible. I want you to underline it, because it happened right after the storm. Then this happens. We're talking about the same 24-hour period. We're talking about just a continuous thing. It says, "Then he came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes." That's also the Decapolis. "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there was with him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, another passage of the Gospels talks about two men, but Mark only focused on the one man that was the most demon-possessed. And he had a what kind of spirit? An unclean spirit. And he was dwelling in the tombs, and no one could bind him. They tried to shackle him, and no one, even with chains, could bind him, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. Now, I want you to get this. There is a demonic force that is a very powerful force at work in him. He's breaking chains. He's breaking shackles. No one can tame him, and they've cast him out, and where is he living? Among the tombs. He's an outcast. They said, we don't know what to do with you. Get out there. Some of you have been there in your life. So they cast him out. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus, come on, say, when he saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Now, I want you to stop right there. He ran and he worshiped Jesus. And so this is what we would call an episodic thing. He was had demons on the inside of him, and they were trying to control him, but there were moments that he came to himself, and when he saw Jesus, it said he ran and worshiped him. He had a moment that he wanted freedom. And most of the time, we don't see demon completely possession. We see episodic, where there is demonic influence, there's demonic things happening, but they come back out and they say, man, I need to get right. I need to make sure I'm free. And so this is what's happening. And he sees Jesus, oh, come on. He sees Jesus and he runs and worships him. But that's not the end. Then the demon began to speak, because he's not wanting to let go. And he cried out with a loud voice and says, what do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. So this is the demonic force speaking right now. And Jesus didn't toy with it. He didn't play with it. He said, verse 8, come out of that man, you unclean spirit. When demonic forces tries to rise up in the church, when there's possession tries to take, we don't play with it. We don't sit around. We cast it out. Amen. Greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that's in this world, that any demonic force, that demonic force is already a defeated foe. And so you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to play with it. If it tries to rise up among you, you cast it out. Come out of that man. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Skip down to verse 15. There's a whole lot that happens there. They go into the pigs ran down the thing, but we're gonna skip down to verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw that one that was demon possessed that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. One encounter with the miraculous power of God, and it cast out all demonic force, and it says, no, 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 now you're ready to be used. Now, here's a good word for the church. The people, once they saw that he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, then they got afraid. Isn't that a commentary? When things become right, when the miraculous happens, some of the people then began to get afraid. And those that saw it said to them, and they happened to the man that was demon-possessed and about the swine, they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Come on, folks. Jesus lands on the shore. One guy comes out who is demonically oppressed, and Jesus sets him free, and all these people are now freaked out, and they said, Jesus, you got to leave the area. Why am I talking about this? Because church, we're gonna have people that are bound, people that are being oppressed by the enemy. They're gonna be coming in. We talk about this revival all the time, but guess where they're gonna be coming from? And we've gotta be ready. And we don't have to be fearful. And we gotta step up in the power of God and cast out those so that they can be clothed and in their right minds. So they pled with him to leave. Now look at verse 18. And when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that they might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. This guy wanted to go with Jesus. He said, no, you can't go. Now listen to what Jesus said in verse 19. This is one of the only times I ever see this. He says, go home to your friends and tell them the great things that the Lord has done to you and how he has had compassion on you. Almost always when Jesus did a miracle, he was telling them, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. But this one, he said, I want you to go back to your friends and your family and I want you to tell them the power that God just showed in your life. Because listen to this. When Jesus showed up on the shore that time, one man met him. One man met him. The next time we have record of Jesus being in the Decapolis, he had to perform a miracle to feed the 4,000 men plus women and children. Oh, come on. One guy delivered from demonic forces starts a revival. And the next time Jesus shows up, 4,000 men and women, that's about 10 to 15,000 people show up to see the power of God. Come on, when we start to operate in the miraculous power of Jesus, revival is going to happen in this place. He departed and began to proclaim to all the Decapolis, that's the 10-city region, revival hit the land because Jesus let the power of God set this man free. Come on, folks, there's people that need the power of God operating in their life, and it's us. We're willing vessels. We're to be used for that power of God to flow through us. Can I have anyone agree with me tonight? We have a lot of churches in this city, and wherever you're watching, there's probably a lot of churches. But we have a whole lot of people that are not in the churches. It's time for us to show the power of God. They're looking for power. They're looking for power. They just don't know where to find it. And it's time for us to start showing the power. Man, there's some silly network that has some median show. I was watching that the other day, and I was like, are you kidding me right now? We have a medium, a fortune teller on TV, and people are flocking to watch it. But I don't blame them, because we need to be the ones that showing them the power of God. And then they won't want that power anymore. They're going to want the true power. Amen. Glory to God. Satan doesn't want us moving in miracles because he doesn't want revival breaking out, but it will. It will. So you saw the first, a natural miracle. He spoke to the storm. Now we see a casting out of demonic oppression or attack. And now we're moving on. So now let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, so he left that one. And now in the same day, he's going back to the other side. And now he had crossed over the other side. A great multitude gathered to him, and he was there by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus, and when he had saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. This girl's 12 years old, and she's about to die. And he says, come lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Now, I want you to underline that phrase, come lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Now, what I call this is a faith statement. She had an understanding and a belief that if Jesus come laid hands on her, what was going to be the result? She's going to be healed. There was a faith statement he already had heard, and now he was believing the word that he heard and standing on it, and now he says, if I can just get that over here to my daughter to lay hands on it, my daughter's going to be healed. There's a lot of you that are believing for miracles in your life right now. And I want to challenge you right now. Do you have a faith statement? Do you have a faith statement? You're going to see another one here in just a minute. But this guy had an understanding that if Jesus lays hands on her, she will be healed. Tonight, I'm telling you, healing's already happening in the room. I'm going to preach for just a little bit more and we're going to have time, but you don't have to wait for that. Healing can happen right now. Deliverance can happen right now. Don't wait for an altar call. You receive it right now. If you're watching online and you get a miracle, type in the chat, hey, God's touched me right now. So he said, come lay your hands on her, that may she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and the great multitude followed him and thronged him. That means they were pressing all around him. All right, so now we have Jairus. Now we're coming to another story that we've heard most all of our life. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, an issue of blood. And she had suffered many things from physicians, and she had grown, and she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, when she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and pushed through and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Guess what that is? A faith statement. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm gonna be made well. She had a faith statement. I want you to, again, what's my faith statement for what I'm believing for? What am I believing for? What am I believing God to do? I need a faith statement in this situation. And she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'm gonna be made well. And guess what happened? Shout it, immediately. Come on, shout immediately. Immediately. For 12 years. 12 years this issue of blood has perplexed her, broke her, and now immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And I want you to get this in your notes, and I want you to write time constraints. Time constraints. Right now we have two time constraints happening. We have a 12-year-old girl that needs touch right now because she's about to die. In fact, one version says when they were even going to Jesus, she had already died. So now we have a really important, urgent time constraint right there. Then on the other side of it, we have another time constraint. It had been 12 years she was trying to get well. And I want you to understand this. Time constraints can affect your faith. There are some of you that have allowed a few turns of the calendar page to determine if God is faithful or not. You've let a few ticks of the clock say, well, that didn't work. We've got to understand that time is always going to work against us. How many of you want God to come through and you want it right? Yesterday would have been better. But that's because we allow time to move us more than we should. He's faithful. And it doesn't matter if you need something immediately or you've been looking for God to come through for years. He's not moved by any time constraint that's on us. Oh, amen. Time will pressure you, but you got to stand in faith. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, you see everyone's pushing against you. How can you even ask who touched me? Everyone's touching you. And he looked around to see what had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. She begins to testify about everything. Now remember, who's with Jesus right now? Jairus. And what's happening with him? He's got a time constraint. I got to get him there. And I'm sure if he was like me, I'd have said, Jesus, great. I'm glad that woman got healed, but we got to go. Why? Time constraint. Jesus, he just paused. He said, man, power went out of me. What's going on? And this woman, she could have been stoned for what she did. She had an open flow of blood, and she went and touched him. And this is a good lesson for us. Hey, you're going to have to press in on some of your miracles. She didn't let tradition stop her. She didn't let man's laws stop her. She pressed in because she knew that if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Some of you, you have your miracle, but you've been allowed things to push you back, and you've got to say, no, I'm going to press through. Some of you, you're letting the time constrict. No, I'm not going to let that bug me. I'm just going to press through. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now we see the third part of our healing being released. How many need healing in your body tonight? Here in a minute, we're going to see healings happening. You say, well, that's pretty bold, Pastor. Hey, I can be as bold as I can be because it's not in me. I'm going to preach the word, and I'm going to pray and agree, and we're going to watch God's power come and heal. Don't look to the stage for your miracle. They're vessels. The power of God is what's going to bring healing in this house tonight. There's healing happening in lower backs right now. There's healing happening in hips right now. Don't wait for the altar. You just receive it. You ain't going to bug me if you get up and run around the place. I don't care. And while he was still speaking, While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Now get this. Come on. Come back to me. We have a healing. The lady with the issue of blood, been waiting 12 years, is healed. And now some bad news comes. The bad news comes and says, hey, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter died. Now what? Now what? And I always challenge, when I teach this in my class, I always challenge my class, what did Jairus say next? And they'll look in their Bible, and they'll look, and they'll look. And if you look, Jairus didn't say anything. Jesus said, hey, come with me. Don't. In fact, it's one version says it's like Jesus ignored what they said, and he said, Jairus, stay with me. He said, only believe. Wait a minute, Jesus. It's too late. Time. It's too late. She already died. No. Stay with me. Only believe. And you know what Jairus said? Because if I was Jairus, I might have blown it up. I told you, Jesus, this was urgent. I told you that we needed to get there. She was about to die. But Jairus didn't say a word. The best thing that he could have said, nothing. Because by saying nothing, you know what he said? Refer to my previous statement. Amen. And you know what his previous statement was? You lay hands on her and my daughter will be healed. So Jesus said, let's go. And they continue to go and they get in the house and there's a bunch of mourners. They're crying and they're waiting. Jesus said, hey, quit doing that. She's not dead, she's asleep, and they made fun of him. And I love this, is a good teaching moment. He made all of them get out. He wanted faith around him at that point. And he brought in people that would have faith and believe. Come on, guys, when you're facing some things, you wanna make sure that people around you are gonna stay in faith and belief with you. And he put them out. And he walks over to her and he said, little girl, arise and be healed. And she was healed. We saw nature try to stop what God was about to do. There was a mission. God sent Jesus just for one man because that one man was going to start revival. Then he came all the way back. And he encountered two people that needed healing. And one person got healed, but the other person got raised from the dead. Amen. And that's the fourth. It's time for healings to be the norm. Come on, I had about a third of you with me. It's time for healings to be the norm. It's time for people to be raised from the dead to be the norm. Hey, the dark's getting darker, but the light is about to get a whole lot brighter. Because I'm talking to some people that are going to take a hold of this word, believe this word, press through, not let time affect them, and they're going to see the miracle power of God come through in their life. Come on, can I hear an amen in this place? I want you to stand to your feet right where you're at. I'm not going to draw out an altar call very long because we know what we're here for. And if you need a healing in your life, if you need a miracle in your life, you know, one of them here, the natural parts is also provision. We saw the 5 loaves and 2 fish. We saw the water turn into wine. There's provision in that too. So if you need provision in your life, you need healing in your life, you need freedom and deliverance in your life, you need anything, you need a miracle from God, I want you to come to the front as quickly as you can come. Come on, come and give them a hand as they're coming. Some of you are saying, well, I wouldn't classify it a miracle. I just need prayer. If you need prayer, you come to the front. We got people that are here that are going to pray. I'm going to come down and pray. We got Pastor Sharon, Pastor Debbie, Pastor Ron. We're going to come through and we're going to pray and agree and believe with you. We got a lot of people coming. Come on, give it up for them. They're still coming from the back. Now, I want everyone to look up at me. Before you start praying, I want you to look up at me. There's so many. We're not going to be able to get to every single one, but guess what? You don't need us to come. The miracle is right here with you right now. You just reach out and grab a hold of it. And whether we touch you or not or pray with you or not, that's not the point. Right now, you're in the place for a miracle. You're in the house for a miracle, and it's right there. Just take a hold of it. We're going to go into worship, and I want you to just begin to pray. I want you to begin to stir yourself up and believe. This right now. Miracles are being released right now. If you need healing in your body, raise your hand. Lord, we thank you for the healing power of God that's flooding in this place right now. And I loose that healing power. I command those bodies to line up with the word of God, that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And I speak it to you right now in Jesus' name. Now release your faith. Take a hold of that. Reach out and take a hold of that by faith. Elbows are being healed. There's arthritis that's being healed right now. In the back of your knee, there's arthritis that's being healed. High blood pressure is being regulated right now in Jesus' name. There's heart conditions that are being healed right now. There's headaches that are being removed right now. Migraines are being cursed and eliminated right now in Jesus' name. Back pain, I command you to go. Neck pain, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Someone has TMJ, and that's being healed right now. TMJ is being healed right now in Jesus' name. There's someone that your ear has been stopped up for weeks, and that's being released right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's someone that's back here that you didn't even come up, but right now you can tell in your body miracles are happening in your body right now. Lord, I thank you for it. Now I'm going to shift gears because there's some of you that need provision, financial provision. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Lord, we thank you that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that financial provision is being released right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oppression, depression, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Set them free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just lift up your prayer. Just if you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. You pray in English, just begin to pray. Begin to thank him. The Lord just spoke to me something. This isn't for a lot of people, but it's for one or two in the house. And when I talked about the storm, something kind of tweaked, but there's been a stirring in the atmosphere concerning your family. And there's been family that has been divided. And right now, he's speaking to that, peace, be still. Families, be reunited. Division, we curse you and command you to go in Jesus' name. We thank you for the unity of God flowing in that home in Jesus' name. Now I want you to do this. I know God's moving. If God did something and you're not just hoping, you're not praying, but you know God did something in your body or in your life right now, just raise your hand right where you're at. All right, look around. Praise God. All right, praise God. Now, one more time. If you need healing in your body and you don't feel different yet, I want you to raise your hand wherever you're at, anywhere in the house. Now, if you got someone around you that has their hand up, I want you to lay your hand on their shoulder. And I want you to pray and just release faith. That by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. And I speak that to you right now. Ears be open. Hearts be healed. I loose the power of God in this place right now. In Jesus' name. There's someone watching online that you've got a diagnosis that's terminal. And you tuned in and you don't even know why you tuned in, but right now the power of God is flowing into that house and he's touching your body right now. And just receive it by faith. Receive it by faith right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now I want to do this one thing right here. One man encountered Jesus and was free. But he went back to his hometown and home cities, and he began to proclaim the goodness of God, and salvation was released. Right now, there's some of you maybe here, there's some of you maybe watching, and he's not really Lord and Savior of your life. And I want to pray for you, because all the miracles, they always point back to him. And we need to know that he's Lord and Savior of our lives. So if you're here in the room, I want every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. But if I'm talking to you and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you did at one time and you've walked away, tonight's your night to declare that he is Lord and Savior. So if I'm talking to you right where you stand, anywhere in the room, every head bowed, every eye closed, if I'm talking to you, just raise your hand. If you're watching online, raise your hand there and say, I need to make him Lord and Savior. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. Good. Praise God. Now we're all going to pray this prayer together. I'm going to lead us, and I want you to repeat. I want you to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you came to earth to die for my sins. I ask you to forgive me, to wash me clean. I believe you were buried in the grave and that God raised you from the dead. And I receive you now as my Savior, and I make you now Lord of my life. Now fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, if you prayed that, you are born again.